The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Car crime dropped a bit during the pandemic, but it's definitely back. Car thefts rose 23% last year and are back to a pre-pandemic normal, which is to say there are 4,000 cars stolen every year in Ireland, with a big concentration in the Dublin area. 38% of thefts happen at residences, in other words, homes. I'm joined by transport commentator and CEO of the RIAC, Conor Faulkner. Conor,
car
theft, you know, with all the security devices that are available for our cars now, you'd imagine that car theft would be almost a thing of the past.
It's a bit depressing, isn't it? It's still around. And there's almost two distinct types. Firstly, that's when the car is robbed from a residence. Typically what happens there is the keys get stolen. And then the car.
So they don't have to break in and get around the digital technology.
Yeah, exactly. And the people will talk to you about code grabbers and scanners and stuff like that, which is occasionally a problem. But, you know, often the manufacturers are ahead of that. Robbing the keys is a good way to rob the car. But much more, less systematically, if you like, there's just an awful lot of casual car crime happening in Dublin. And I say car crime, this is street level stuff. So whether it's the bicycle being robbed, or in two people that I know recently had the back windscreen of the car smashed while the car was parked in town, and the content stolen. In one case, a friend of my son's, he's a musician, a violin worth about $5,000. Whatever.
Which will be sold on for probably a couple of hundred euros.
The feral street gouger that did it probably has no appreciation of what he's just stolen. And I've spoken to some individual Gardaí who will tell you that in some cases they know exactly who these guys are. They're literally feral youngsters, and they're just going around smashing windows and robbing whatever they can take.
Now, the advice obviously is don't expose anything in the car that might be tempting for a thief. If you can't see it, I mean, why waste your time and risk your freedom in case you're apprehended if there's nothing to be gained from breaking into a particular car?
Yeah, unless they're just very complacent about the consequences. But, you know, it had me looking up some of the old advice the AA used to give 30 years ago and still kind of sound. I mean, park in a safe, well-lit spot. Don't leave valuables on site. The easiest thing to do, just conceal anything that looks like it might be interesting. And an old-fashioned crook lock. Long before the digital age, but it just means your car is much more trouble than it's worth, and the gouger moves on to the next one.
Break the inbuilt steering lock quite easily.
Yeah, they can, yeah. And look, when you get to the theft of high-end vehicles and more organised crime, there are different defences there. Car trackers and all that sort of stuff. Cars can be stolen by being total lifted and taken away by organised criminals robbing high-value cars. But much more commonly, what you and I will come across is sort of the street level lack of security. And even in car parks that have CCTV and are well lit, I talk to people who say they feel menaced on the way back to their parking space. And that sort of unsettling, menacing feeling across the city is deeply unwelcome. And it does seem to be certainly not getting better, and anecdotally, and according to some Garda data, getting worse.
Now, what about bicycle theft? Because there is a divergence between what the Gardaí say they know is stolen and what the Dublin Cycling Campaign reckon is stolen.
Yeah, and bicycle theft is an absolute scourge in Dublin City. It's crazy. Ask anybody who's bought a bike. They've almost certainly had the experience of having it stolen. Unless you've got somewhere to secure to put it, you dare not take it into town. The Gardaí say there's about 4,000 bicycle thefts in Dublin annually. Dublin Cycling Campaign say it's way higher. Most of them are unreported. They reckon it could be as high as 20,000. You know, the actual truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But it's not the mark of a civilised city that, you know, you're trying to build bike lanes and encourage all of this. And because of low-level endemic crime, you simply can't use a bicycle properly in Dublin. And that's really frustrating.
Yeah. I have a picture here in front of me of the storage place where the bikes are. And there's literally a tangle of bikes. Mm. There must be 300 or 400 bikes in this place. So bikes are stolen and abandoned and could be retrieved.
And could be retrieved. If you own a bike of any value at all, if you can put a distinguishing mark on it, put, some sort of reference whereby if the guards do find it. But outside of that, yes, there is this population of bikes that are casually stolen, as I say, stolen by some gouger with not full appreciation of the value of what he's stealing, perhaps, or selling it on casually or cheaply. And they just turn up. They wind up, they become a waste problem in their own right. They litter the place. Occasionally, they're reunited with their owners. Often, they're just smashed up or thrown around.
What happened to the Garda scheme using
bait bikes?
Bait bikes, yeah.
So clever idea.
Very attractive bike.
Yeah.
And they want to track it then. Someone steals it. They know they're going to steal it because it's so attractive. And they follow it back to where it is going to be taken apart or whatever.
Yeah, and I think they've caught a couple of fish doing that, but, you know, relative, you know, minnows, I guess, you know. And again, if it is almost literally a feral youth who's been before the courts 15 or 20 times, you know, congratulations, you can add stealing a bicycle to the list, but you've done very little to impact on the actual problem. And I think it's a very good initiative, and it's the type of thing you'd like to see the Gardaí doing more of. And there should be better basic bike security
places. Now, you say the Gardaí know often the individuals who are stealing a lot of bikes. I mean, why one person is supposed to be responsible for 20 bike thefts a week?
Yeah.
He's obviously doing it to order. There's a demand from somewhere.
You would think so. You would think so. But again, you know, if you talk to just ordinary Gardaí, they will tell you that you could have a flurry of burglaries in a suburban area, and they'll say, oh, so-and-so's just got out of his jail or whatever it is. You know, so at community level, the Gardaí often know full well what's going on. But it's not as if it's an easily manageable problem. I mean, particularly when you're talking about, essentially ungovernable young people who don't seem to have a care in the world about the consequences. There aren't very many of them. But, you know, it's possible for them to have a large and negative social effect. Mm. And there's other stuff going on as well, drug use and all the sort of things you'll see in the city.
Yeah, I was reading last week about one mobile phone stolen every 6 minutes in London.
Yeah, and I wonder what our run rate is on that. I would imagine per capita, we're no angels. That sort of thing blights every European city, as indeed
does... You've got someone who's holding their phone looking at... navigation maps, maybe trying to find out where.
Yeah, rolling the wheelie case along behind them and looking bewildered at the Google map.
Suddenly it's snatched.
Easiest thing in the world to have it snatched out of the hand. Again, I know somebody that happened to in Paris, and that sort of thing could happen everywhere. So you advise the basic consumer to be street aware. You're not victim blaming when you say to somebody, you know, don't walk around a strange city waving your phone in the air. It's clearly not a safe thing to do.
Now let's talk about public transport and... you know, we've regularly heard from Dublin bus drivers how they can be abused and so on, and racially abused in some cases because their skin colour is not white, and they get abuse from passengers. Extraordinary stuff. But the Lewis...
It's worse on the Lewis. Isn't that extraordinary? And you know, again, I suppose related to what we were talking about, parking your car safely, it's sort of low-level feeling of intimidation or being menaced or feeling at risk. But this is based on a passenger survey of Lewis passengers, and they track this year-on-year customer satisfaction. And it looks as if people are feel less safe on a Lewis journey now than they did before the pandemic. And that trend kicked back in really immediately post-pandemic in 2022. And it's there in that... annual survey, and it's turned up again. They actually scores worse than the bus passengers' experience, which would surprise some people because you kind of think, oh, I get, you know, a bus maybe going to a bad area that's dark on its own at night. I might, but the Lewis surely is reasonably well lit and reasonably safe. And I know the bus driver's experience can be a negative one sometimes. We should, I suppose, preface all of this, Pat, by saying, not all doom and gloom, you know.
Yeah.
The vast majority of people have safe journeys in what is, by any international comparison, a safe and nice city. But it does have its menacing bits. And people feel intimidated on the Lewis, particularly in the last couple of years.
Now, I'll read you some of the comments coming in and the experiences. The big problem with antisocial behaviour on the Lewis is that passengers have no way to take action, in my experience. Two incidents happened. Incident one, a crowd of yobs got on with a boombox playing loudly, disturbing passengers. I sent a text to the antisocial behaviour number outlining the behaviour and got the reply, we can only take action on serious antisocial behaviour activity. Two, a brat was asked to stop smoking by a passenger and refused. In refusing, they punched the passenger on the way out. Later, I emailed Lewis asking him if they would take action as the incident would be videoed. The reply, we can only take action if the Gardaí are involved. Compare that to Amsterdam in a tram where the driver announced the tram would not be moving until the woman eating in the cabin left. The tram didn't move for 10 minutes. despite a build-up of other trams. So, what happened? She left.
Yeah, different culture. And I think other European cities often profit by having much busier trams and public transport. You know, the busier the thing is, the more helpful it can be. Mm. I suspect a lot of those Lewis issues might be happening, you know, relatively late at night. And sometimes it's in the eye of the beholder.
I mean, they have security people on board the Lewis trams. They move to and fro. And they've a fairly simple network. I mean, they've only two lines.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it's not like Dublin Bus that have a plethora of routes that they have to
I suppose for the passengers, the bus driver is nearly always available or to some extent available, whereas that's not at all the case on the Lewis. So,
A friend of mine had his sunglasses stolen off his face while he was stopped in traffic in the city with the windows rolled down.
Wow.
That's crazy, says our listener. I remember once sitting in traffic on Dorset Street and the opportunistic guy scoured the cars sitting in line at the traffic lights and smashed the window of the car in front to take a handbag from the front seat of the woman driving. An awful experience for that woman.
Yeah, we used to always advise about handbags.
Put it on the floor so it's not visible.
Yeah. And phones as well. Phone in swipeable distance, not a good idea.
Michael in Dublin 8. 3 weeks ago, 40 cars in Dublin 8 were broken into by smashing windows by a gang of teenagers. Also, a couple who tried to protect their car were physically attacked. The guards took hours to respond. All documented, nothing done so far. My friend almost carjacked by a guy with a knife in Bulls Bridge. She has a Tesla and was able to show detectives footage of the guy at all angles. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. On the North Keys at the moment in Dublin behind an 18-wheeler. My understanding is these guys in 18-wheelers are banned from the city centre.
He need to get a permit, and he almost certainly has one. If you need to get an 18-wheeler in for a specific reason, you get a permit from DCC.
But sure, that makes nonsense, though.
Well, no,
I know they have
charge
to pay
the
every time.
And they manage it, yeah. And if you look at the number of 18-wheelers that exist in Dublin City, they're very, very few. And again, people who remember the old days when there was a wall of steel on the quays, that at least is gone. But you will see the odd exceptional one. They'd be needed for, you know, various, from time to time, various activities in the city.
Another one says, put your air code on your bike, Garda getting bikes and now can't return them.
Yeah, well, but you're also giving the gouger your address. What you could do is put your email address or an email address on a bike. So if a guard recovers it, they can, you know.
I mean, bikes have frame numbers, don't they?
They do. And you're supposed to. And I very diligently did. I must have the file somewhere. Took a phone pic of the serial number of the bike. Bought it under the bike to work scheme. Kept the various bits and pieces
and stolen?
Paperwork. Well, mine, no. But my son Shane has had 3 bikes stolen. It's epidemic. And talk to anybody who's a regular cyclist and they will have come across it. And nobody feels safe enough to lock their bike modestly and leave it overnight. You just don't feel you can do that. You should be able to. You don't feel you can.
Okay. Last year, my wife's motorcycle was stolen. We have a tracker on it.
Yeah.
Gave the guard the air code of where to go to take it back with the screenshot. They still took 5 hours to get there. And last month they tried again, called the guard. They never showed up, even after they were told the thieves were aggressive and tried to hit me with the hammer.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. It doesn't seem like what Gardaí should be doing. And I talk to Gardaí regularly, and I appreciate that a lot of good work is being done, or they're trying to do it. Not every problem was within their gift to solve.
Another listener: I was on a tram in Antwerp last week. The tram would not move until a person with a bike on board got off.
Well, it's a good way of enforcement, isn't it? You could imagine that social pressure on somebody would make them comply quickly. Look, I'm impressed with Amsterdam and not for only that.
Don't they have, in all the Lewis carriages and the Dart carriages, they have CCTV?
Yes.
Now, that's live to the driver, one presumes. And is it live to control centre? In Lewis, there's such a limited number of trams, you'd imagine.
It'd be immediately accessible. Bank of cameras. And indeed, there's the array of traffic cameras that Dublin City Council and, we're a very well-monitored city. There's a big control room at the entrance to the Port Tunnel where they can see a lot of the motorway cameras. Dublin City Council have their big Starship Enterprise dashboard. They can see everything. And the Lewis control room likewise. So it's adequately covered by CCTV. But that doesn't make people feel safe, though, Pat, somehow. I mean,
Now, later on, we'll be talking to Eamon Ryan, the retiring leader of the Green Party. And we'll be asking him about his legacy. And I'm sure he would expect that question. So it's not a spoiler in that sense. But what would you see as his green legacy, given you're a cyclist and a motorist and someone who is responsible for a motoring organisation, the RIAC?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt that there's been a huge green influence on transport policy. And for the most part, it's been positive. You can look at things like changing the tax system on cars, for example, which completely switched us from petrol to diesel, which was the right thing to do, and subsequently incentivising electric vehicles. I don't think his achievements might have matched his ambition, but I never criticised him for putting out ambitious goals. And for a small party in the scheme of things, I think you would have to say that the Greens have punched above their weight, whether you approve of everything they've done or not. And I do think they've influenced the conversation in a good way. Let's not dwell on failures, but I still can't take a metro to Dublin Airport. And, that's been government policy for, at least going on 20 years.
And they can't recruit or have not yet recruited key staff to run that whole project.
It just takes too long. Other critical infrastructure, we're going to get an update next week on the Cork-Limerick motorway road link project. It'll be a very detailed update. And in all of these things, too slow. And I don't think the Greens were able to fix that.
I'll bring you some more comments now. Youth crime, robbing bikes, cars, etc. But the guards are disillusioned. A lot of crime comes from teenagers and these youths are just let off by the courts. Nothing more the guards can do. Lawlessness is rampant. A shame to see such deterioration.
Yeah,
I mean, that seems to be the case that they'll taunt the guards because they know that there will be no consequence.
Yeah, that does definitely happen and we definitely have to improve it. But again, I think we should contextualise it. We mentioned Amsterdam. That is not a city without problems. Dublin, in the scheme of things, is actually, whether it's per kilometre travelled by a cyclist or a Lewis passenger or for your street experience, Dublin is an extremely safe city with a great deal positive to be said about it. So, although these antisocial issues seem to have worsened in our eyes, we should probably keep a sense of context on that as well.
Now, another comment. Unfortunately, we had a break-in in our car in County Mayo last month, rang the guards, and we were told, quote-unquote, the car is busy in Castlebar. One car for the whole county?
Yeah, that seems inadequate, doesn't it?
Yeah, but it's almost like Percy French talk, that the car is busy in Castlebar.
Yeah, it is. And even at that level, the guards have to prioritise. A car windscreen has been smashed. That's unfortunate. In the scheme of things, no more than when you arrive in the emergency room, there may be more important cases than yours.
All right, Conor, thank you very much for joining us. Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and CEO of the...
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.